Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help members of the military community thrive in their post-service career. Today's episode number 364, Veteran Tax Credits with Craig Washburn.
I met a gentleman on the archery range of all places, started chatting a little bit and did the obligatory, well, what do you do for a living kind of thing, right? And I found out that he had just sold his businesses about 3 months prior. He'd owned a chain of over 100 different auto mechanic shops. And then when he asked me what I did, I watched his smile turn to grimace. And I'm like, what's he upset over? And he looks at me and he goes, you get credits for tax credits for hiring veterans? And I said, yeah. He said, man, if you knew how many veterans I hired in the 27 years that I owned those businesses, that's $5.6 million that you paid the IRS over 27 years that you didn't need to. I thought he was going to hit me.
My guest today, Craig, is a serial entrepreneur whose current company, Veteran Tax Credits, is relevant to all of our listeners. First of all, if you are a veteran seeking a job, Craig talks about how the government provides tax credits for any employer who hires you. This is a financial benefit to employers that could play a deciding role in your next job offer, so it's worthy of your attention. Second, if you're an employer, Craig talks about a tax incentive surprisingly few businesses know about. He'll walk you through what you need to do to take full advantage of this benefit. In addition, we talk about entrepreneurship, partnerships, and more. Lastly, one thing I really appreciated in this interview is the sense that when veterans raise awareness of this sort of tax incentive, not only are they helping themselves, but they're helping other members of the military community who may benefit from these tax incentives in the future as well. Many thanks to Craig for the work he's doing to help our military community and for his sponsorship of this episode to help Beyond the Uniform further our work. As always, at beyondtheuniform.org, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss, as well as 363 other episodes just like this one. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Craig. Well, joining me today, a hop, skip, and a jump away from Denver here in Castle Rock, Colorado, my guest is Craig Washburn. Craig, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for listeners, let me give you some background on Craig. He is the founder and CEO of VTC, Veterans Tax Credits. VTC helps veterans get pre-certified and find gainful employment through their partnerships. They also help companies find outstanding veteran talent and collect valuable tax credits for employing them. Craig started out in the Navy as an administrative supervisor, where he served for 4 years. His civilian career includes work at Healthcare Dimensions, Pacific Care Health Systems, as well as owner of the Pivot Management Group. So Craig, maybe to start things off, anything to add or amend to that bio?
No, that's a good one. I have had both a long career in the corporate sector, and then took off and kind of started my own thing in 2007 so I could be in charge of my own destiny.
Awesome. Well, let's start maybe on that thread of you got back out of the Navy back in 1994. Well, take us through that decision-making process and what the transition was like for you.
So the decision process actually started pretty early in my Navy career. So, you know, I came into the Navy just before the start of the Gulf War. So I went to college for a semester the end of 1990, and unfortunately, from a financial perspective, I was running out of money to stay in college. I was focusing a little bit too much on the extracurricular activities and not enough on filling the bank account. So, you know, I had to make a decision at that point whether or not, you know, I wanted to go back and live with mom and dad and try to do college on my own through there, or to go out and find a way to pay for it. So I made the decision right alongside with whatever everything was going on with the lead up to the Gulf War, that I wanted to serve, and you know, I felt like that would be an opportunity for me to do something great for my country, but also to get some money put aside so that when it came time to do college, I would be prepared to do that. And, you know, when I made that decision to kind of step out on my own and leave the financial support of my parents, it was really a catalyst for me and began how I was going to approach life and career for the rest of my life. You know, I decided that if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to put everything that I have into it. So when I went into the Navy, that's what I did. You know, I went into my technical school, you know, graduated top of my class, had the ability to accelerate advance from there. My first command was an HSL squadron. It was the training squadron for out of Mayport. And, you know, I got there and because of my decision and my work ethic, it didn't take long before I had the XO and my department head saying, hey, you know, if you're going to stay in, we'd love to be able to support a package to send you to the academy. And I was like, I was, you know, flattered and shocked by the offer. And I put some time into it. And because I came from multiple family members that were military and understood what the military life was, you know, I made the decision then that I was going to do my four and go back to college, primarily because I wanted to get married and have a family. And it's really, I mean, as you know, it's tough on a family being in the military. So I made that decision early, but still kind of put my head down and worked really hard while I was there. And so when it came time after my deployment on the Saratoga to get out, I was ready to get back to college and kind of go that direction.
And I want to spend more time kind of talking about your entrepreneurial journey, but what do you want listeners to know about that period between departing the military and starting your first company, the Pivot Management Group?
Well, so, you know, post military, I went back to college for a couple of years and then was running a health club on the side as a manager, as a supervisor during that college time, and then had an opportunity to take over and actually run a club on my own. And then I, you know, left that and went into the financial arena for a little while before going back to school and getting my degree. You know, the biggest thing that I tell veterans that I talk to today about that transition and what to expect is, number one, it takes a little bit longer than you think it's going to. You know, I came out with a pretty big head on my shoulders because I had accomplished a lot of things in the Navy. But once I got out of college and I started, you know, really looking for that first job, I had to kind of put my ego in the desk drawer because, you know, there's very few things in life that can beat up your ego like transition and the time it takes you to find that first job. So just be prepared that it's going to take a little bit of time. Don't let that frustrate you. You know, I got out long before the technical world that we're in today that recruiters use to find the right talent for their company. You know, my first job was from a newspaper ad, you know, back when we did that. You go to the classifieds and you look up a job and you could actually walk through the door and talk to somebody. You know, today, it's just not that way. So it's a, I think, a more frustrating process for people that are transitioning today than it was for me from that regard. The other thing is that, you know, corporate America is different from what we're used to in the military. And you have to be prepared for that. You know, I think that one of my biggest shocks was when I finally got into a leadership position with the first company I was at, and I was super excited, right? I was going to lead my new team. I'm going to help the company accomplish a lot of stuff. And that excitement turned to frustration at the end of the first week when I had people on my team going to HR and going to the boss going, this guy is a little too firm, you know, and I didn't understand that, right? In the military, we understand chain of command. We understand why chain of command works and the consequences for not following directions or orders. And you get into corporate America and you know, there was no ill intent, wasn't trying to be, you know, hard butt. I just was in there, you know, given directions. And unfortunately I guess I was being a little too firm. So, you know, that's just a cultural thing that you have to be prepared for. So some of that stuff's going to come as a shock to you when you get into corporate America. And again, just put your ego aside and say, okay, there's culturally, I've got to learn something new, and it's going to take a little while, to rewire those connections in our brain that have been hardwired there for so long. And you can get there. It's just going to take a little bit of a challenge in the early years. So that's what I would share. The two points I think I'd share most about my time before I decided to take on my own companies. And I think that the entrepreneurial part of me has always been there. And in corporate America, the other thing you'll get used to is that career progression is different. You know, in the military, we have a very prescribed method and process to move into the next role until you get into the senior leadership roles, right? You know, there's a lot less politics that go into whether or not you get that next position. You do what's required. You know, you put on some extra pins, you take some tests, and, you know, when all your points add up to the right level, you can get promoted, right? In corporate America, it's much different. And so, and I kind of, though not to bash corporate America, I just kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, I've learned what I need to learn. I'm ready to take control of my own destiny and charge forward instead of having to ask permission every time I wanted to do something.
What was it that sparked your initiative to leave a job and to start the Pivot Management Group?
A lot of it had to do with just the, number one, the desire to have control of my destiny without having to go through other people's decisions for me to advance. I mean, fortunately, I'd always kind of done a real good job of moving into positions of leadership, but the higher up the corporate ladder you go, the fewer positions that are available and the more corporate stuff you have to get, politicking and things like that you have to do to position yourself for that next role. And I've always just been a very matter of fact guy. I will tell you in black and white what I think about something, whether you like it or not, right? Because I feel like that for me to bring value to a company, my input is important. And, you know, if you don't like what I'm giving you, it just kind of is what it is. I just haven't been really good at politicking, I guess. So that was, you know, I finally got to a point in my corporate career where I felt like, okay, I've gone as far as I can go in the amount of time that I want to spend with this company. I know that I have the ability to impact more people's lives and grow faster if I do it on my own.
What for listeners unfamiliar, what how would you describe the Pivot Management Group? What do you do as a company?
So Pivot's primary mission is to help companies with HR-related solutions. So it started off in the insurance side of the house with employee benefits and things of that nature. And, you know, just because of the type of relationships that I built with my clients, they had a lot of trust in me and would come to me with other HR-related challenges that they faced. And they'd ask me, you know, hey, is this something you can help me with? And, you know, at the time I didn't have a solution, I made the commitment that I would find them one. And so the company evolved over time to not where we did all of the different HR functions ourselves, but we found valued partners and trusted partners that we could go in as a team and solve, you know, my clients' problems. So, you know, by the time, we got, you know, 5-6 years into the company, we were able to offer them solutions that was pretty much anything HR related.
Where did the initial knowledge come from? Like when you started it, what was kind of the career capital that you had that made you feel confident that you could be providing this?
Well, a lot of it just came from the time in corporate America. You know, my last position before I left and started Pivot Management Group was with Aetna running multiple states. and providing solutions to, insurance solutions to folks, and building partnerships within the community through both nonprofits and community organizations, as well as business partners, to be able to help us reach more people and provide solutions. So it wasn't anything new. I kind of built up that confidence and knowledge base to know that I could make an impact and help from that perspective. And then it was, I've always been a continuous learner. You put something in front of me that I don't know, and it's something I need to know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to not only learn it, but to become an expert in it to the best of my ability. And then I've always been big on partnerships and finding other people that are experts in the field to partner with, so that we're, approaching solutions as a team and solving problems for our clients.
And I'm curious, so in 2018, you started a second company, the Veteran Tax Credits. What was the spark or the insight or the moment that led to, what was like kind of the starting pebble that led to that thought of starting a completely separate entity?
Well, that was learning about the veteran tax credit for the first time. So, I started at the end of 2018, but I actually learned about the program several years prior. And it was the first time I'd learned about it. And I was at first shocked and then extremely frustrated. So the shock came from, I can't believe there's a program out there that incentivizes employers to hire veterans by giving them a tax credit. And then the frustration came in with, okay, I'm a veteran. I've been out since 1994, and this is 20 plus years later, and I'm just now finding out about this program. And, I've always been a self-accountability guy, so I blamed myself. Hey, I just must be a Neanderthal, and I've been dragging my knuckles through the past 20 plus years, not paying attention. But as I reached out to, vets that I served with, lifelong friends, I was volunteering at the time with a nonprofit that helped with transition and helped veterans find employers. And just about everybody that I talked to on the veteran side had no clue about the program. And then the other frustration came in, here I am, a company that helps businesses with HR related programs, right? Solutions. And this is an HR program. It's about hiring people and getting money for hiring people. I'm like, why don't I know about it from this side? And so, I reached out to my clients. I'm like, I know you guys got vets that work for you. I've actually helped place a few of them. How did you guys handle the tax credits? And I got the same blank stare from them that I got from my veteran friends. What are you talking about? We get credits for hiring veterans? I said, well, apparently you do. So, I just went straight to the source. So I called the DOL, and then I called the workforce agency in Texas, because that was the state I was in. And I said, tell me about this program. And then as they walked me through it, the end of it, I said, okay, now tell me why I don't know about this program. And the answer was simple. It was like, look, we're a government organization. We've got limited people, limited budget. We do the best that we can. This is available for everybody, but they just have to find it. And so it was an answer, but it wasn't an answer I liked. So that was kind of the catalyst for me to bridge the gap and try to bring this to both sides of the community.
Do you have a sense, so that this is, I guess, falls under the umbrella of the Workers' Opportunity Tax Credit, how much are employers missing on this? Like, how much is unclaimed? Because it sounds like this activity is occurring. It seems like money left on the table for a company where they're hiring veterans, but they're not getting the additional tax benefit of doing so. Do you have a sense of like how much just slips through the cracks?
Yeah, it's unfortunately disgusting. Within the veteran target group itself, which was the very first target group that created this program, and then, as you mentioned, the Work Opportunity Tax Credit is the latest name that incorporated some other target groups. when you break down the demographics for each of the different target groups, the numbers, you know, that are in those groups and the tax credits associated with them, around $63 billion goes unclaimed every year. So a little over $1 billion gets claimed, close to $63 billion gets unclaimed. So monies are literally just, or companies are just literally throwing money into the fireplace by not having a solution in place.
So I want to kind of maybe approach this in three ways, because I know we have a diverse audience. The first path I want to go down is for people listening who are veterans who are seeking a job, because there's ways in which they would benefit from this. The second way is for employers, because I know that we have many entrepreneurs listening, to see how this works and how they might tap in and not be part of the $62+ billion left unclaimed. And then third of all, I know we have aspiring entrepreneurs, and so I'd love to kind of dig into just kind of things you've learned along the way. But let's start with that first group with veterans. How does this work for them, and what's required of them to engage with a program like this?
So I think the best way to start is to explain the process, and then we can link into how to leverage it. So, you know, 99% of the time, the way that it happens today is I walk in and I interview with you as a company, and I self-identify as a veteran. And we go through that process, and, you know, you interview everybody else that you're going to interview, and then you finally make the decision that I'm the right candidate. Now, you're a company that's one of the few that's savvy to this program. You know about it. You use it. And so when you call me up and say, hey, Craig, congratulations. You know, we'd love to invite you to come, you know, to be part of our team. You know, as part of that process, we need you to complete some paperwork that proves to the government that we hire veterans. And I'm going to be more than happy to do that for you, right? I'm getting a job, right? So I do my side of the paperwork. I sign it. I send it back to you. You do your side of the paperwork, and then you either use a service consultant, whatever, to file it, or potentially brave the waters on your own and try to file it on your own. And so in that circumstance, your company is getting the tax credit for hiring me, which is great. It benefited you as a company. Now, as a veteran, I don't know, because I wasn't aware of the program prior, whether or not that was part of the decision that you made when you hired me, right? So it, you know, it's great that you got the credit, but what about the other 11 interviews that I've been on in the past 2 months? And as a veteran not knowing about the program, I can't talk to the program, and I can't bring it to companies, right, if they don't know about the program. So what I found out, and what was a catalyst to start VTC, is that veterans can complete their side of the paperwork during the job search process and get pre-certified or conditionally certified as a veteran target group. And then now we can talk about it. Now, before VTC, the way you had to do it, you'd have to go down to your workforce agency office with your DD-214 in hand, and if you're service-connected disabled, with your rating letter in hand, and they would do the pre-certifications for you there. Now, that's great, number one, if you know about the program and you're close enough to drive to it, but if you're 200 miles away from an office, are you going to get in your truck or your car and drive to go do that? There was no online resource available for it. So as I understood from the consulting side, you know, consultants are able to handle both sides of the paperwork and submit it to the government for processing. That was the question I asked the DOL. Is like, can I do their paperwork for them and submit it to you as a consultant? Would you still process their side of the paperwork? And they said that they would. And I'm like, I'm in. So I started the development of the veteran side of the platform. So, you know, the process for vets is easy. You go in, you complete the surveys online, you register at veterantaxcredits.com, and you upload your documentation. We submit that to the government for processing. They're going to send you a packet in the mail, and this is a federal program, so it works in all 50 states. So it doesn't matter, which of the agencies send you the packet. You can take that form with you because it's a federal form and apply to jobs anywhere you want, and it's going to work in all places. But it's a government form. And so if you're a company and don't understand what that form is and don't know what to do with it, it kind of loses the leverage from the veteran side. So we create a letter for you that it markets you to that company as a veteran. And then it points them back to our site where they can upload your profile code and they'll be able to see your profile. So you'll be able to upload a resume, put in all your skill sets, put in your LinkedIn URL. And if you want to upload an introduction video, we can do that for you too. And essentially it's, you know, for you to use in your interview, because 99% of the time, if your interviewer is worth their salt, at the end of the interview, they're going to ask you, you know, thanks for coming in, Justin. And is there anything else that you'd like to share before we conclude this interview? And that gives you an opportunity to thank them and to talk about, you know, your last minute pitch on why you feel like you're the best person for this position. And then you say, and oh, by the way, I've done some paperwork to get pre-certified for a veteran tax credit should you decide I'm the right candidate to hire. Here's a letter that explains it all. And so that gives that employer something now that's tangible that they can go in and look at your profile, find out how much of a tax credit you're worth, learn more about the program, and see if it's something that they want to include in their business decision when they get down to final candidates, if you're one of the candidates. With the intent being that they hire you for, and you know, whether you were the first veteran they hired or number 100, for them to get the tax credit for the first time and connect the dots mentally. Go, I got great talent. I got money back in my budget I wasn't expecting. Maybe we should be hiring more veterans. And so that's how we leverage it as the veteran.
I love that, because, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it almost sounds like a reversal of a traditional recruiter. And, you know, typically a recruiter would go to a company and say, hey, I've got this great candidate. And if you hire them, I get 10 to 20% of their starting salary. So right. That the company ends up paying to hire this person. Whereas in this case, the company makes money for hiring one of these veterans. And I don't imagine that would shift a company from a no to a yes on a candidate. But if you're looking at 3, 5, 10 people and having difficulty deciding, and they're all qualified, and you know that one of them is going to put money, you know, immediately back in the company's bank account, that might be a deciding factor. So that sounds pretty compelling.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about today's environment with COVID. I mean, companies need every dollar that they can get to recover. And so though this program has been an advantage for us on the veteran side, if we leveraged it for a long time, today it's even more apropos because the companies may need that additional dollars. So it's definitely valuable and can sway a company into making the decision that you're the right candidate. And that's what the intent of the Department of Labor program is.
What are the restrictions around? Can a veteran only qualify this for once or for 10 jobs? And then also, does it only apply if they're on active duty or if they've been out for a couple of years? Like, who does this apply to?
So this is a program that follows us as a veteran for our entire working career. So this program has been around since post-World War II, so 7.5 decades old. There's only been about a 3-month gap where it went into hiatus, but then it was retroed back. So, you know, if you include the retro, that there's never been a break in this program since it started. And, I don't anticipate that it will ever go away, because do you want to be the administration that takes away a tax credit for hiring veterans? Probably not the smartest thing from a political perspective to let it sunset and never, be there for our vets. But so the qualifications are around unemployment with a caveat being transition. So the only two qualifiers that could potentially preclude you is, one is you have to have 180 days of active duty service. So even somebody who's been, you know, 20 years, 25 years as reserve, if they've deployed and done at least 180 days active service cumulatively, then they qualify for the program. The other is around discharge. So if you're dishonorably discharged, unfortunately, you lose this credit, this advantage. But those are really the only two qualifications as far as that can take you out of the program. The other ones are around unemployment. So transitioning, we automatically qualify for the max level credits. And that is either $5,600 or $9,600, depending on whether or not you're service-connected disabled of at least 10% or more. So if you're coming out with zero, you know, disability, then you're worth $5,600 to the first company who hires you. If you're 10% or more, you're worth $9,600. So almost 10 grand. Once you have start employment after you transition, then your clock starts ticking. So the way that the states validate you for future credits is based on unemployment times. And those two thresholds are at least 4 weeks in the past 12 months or 6 months or longer. Okay. So, you know, if you get recruited away from another company, so let's say I'm working for Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman calls me up and says, hey, I got a great position. And I start, you know, I leave on a Friday at Lockheed and I start on a Monday. Well, there's been no gap of an employment, so I'm not going to come with the credit. But if I'm looking for a job, meaning I've left employment, whether that was because I wanted to or because unfortunately I was laid off or whatever the reason was, but you know, if I stopped working today and started the job search process tomorrow, by the time I refine my resume, start applying to jobs online, you know, win the lottery and actually get an interview set up, and then that company goes through its process of interviewing other candidates and making decisions, second interviews, third interviews, all that, it's going to be 2 to 3 months before I get my butt in a new seat, right? So chances are, if I'm looking for work, there's going to be at least a 4 week gap between the time that I leave and the time I start a new employment. So I'm going to come with at least $2,400 in tax credits. Now, if it takes me 6 months or longer, it's either 56 or 96 again, depending on whether or not I'm service connected disabled.
And what about on the employer side? Like, what does it take for them to take advantage of this? And I'm also curious around any restrictions for them if they can only use it for, you know, one employee, or does it matter? And how they navigate this?
So, like every government program, there's paperwork and there's guidelines and deadlines that you have to meet in order to qualify for the credit. So, for a company that's going to try to master it on their own, make sure you have a dedicated resource, and they spend a lot of, you know, the required time learning the program before you tackle it on your own. Because the program only applies to veterans or other target groups that you hire if you do their side of the paperwork prior to hire. So the Department of Labor's language says you need to make sure they complete their side of the paperwork no later than the date of job offer. So that's important that you integrate the program into your interviewing and hiring process on the front side, because if they complete their paperwork the day after they're hired, you just lost the credit, because they'll look at the date of hire and they'll look at the signature date and they'll go, too late. So you can't go back in arrears and collect credits on veterans that you've already hired in past years either, because the program itself is designed to be a hiring tax incentive, not a I've hired tax incentive, right? So they want it to be part of the business decision. So that's why they want it done in the front side, so that when you're looking at candidates in that final selection, that's one of the factors that becomes part of your business decision on who you hire. They're going to dangle a carrot and say, hey, we're going to give you money if you will hire one of these target groups. And, you know, veterans is probably the largest group is from a hiring perspective, that people, you know, that are, is part of that decision. So that paperwork has to be done on the front side. And then you've got deadlines on the back side. So once you get all your paperwork and their paperwork, it has to be submitted to the government within 28 days from the date of hire. And if it gets there on day 29, you lost the credit. So there are statutory requirements about that. And then there are things that happen along the way, because the credits are not just flat credits for hire. There are work requirements. So the vet has to be with you for certain periods of time in order to earn the credit. And then they're done. The credits are set up as caps of basically a percentage of wages up to that cap. So wages that are earned or paid during that time period. So that's one of the values that we bring to our employer clients, is our system handles it all for them. So from sourcing through credit fruition, it's a turnkey software solution that literally does all of the required paperwork, and we do all the filing with the states on behalf of our clients, follow up with the states when there are issues, and become the IRS agent of record for this program for that company. And then at the end of the year, we wrap it all up in what they've earned for the year on the required IRS documentation and give it back to them so they can give it to their CPA and say, you know, here's 50 grand that we don't have to pay in taxes this year. So the whole goal of the employer side was to take the headache and mystery out of the program and to make it so simple that, you know, HR is a department that's always overloaded. They're being pulled in a million different directions. So you don't have to have a dedicated resource that's dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, because the system does 99% of the work for you. And on the backside, our company's handling the rest of the work for you.
Are you allowed, when you're working with a veteran, are you, because you, I'm imagining you've got a pretty big roster of companies that you're working with, and so you know companies that really value hiring veterans. Are you allowed to kind of like either match make or let veterans know, like, hey, you should probably look at these companies because they're, you know, going to see the benefit immediately? It's not like you're explaining it to them.
Yeah. So that's what I call the icing on the cake of our program and platform is, you know, we start with exposure. Number one, and helping, you know, getting exposure to both the veteran and the business community around this program. And then the next part of it's the connection. So veterans are coming into our system, getting pre-certified, using our letter to go out and look for work. But they also have the ability to see the employers that are part of our program and can learn about those companies, apply to an internal job bank from those companies that are posting jobs internally. So they can apply to open jobs. And the employers also have the ability to post jobs to the veterans that are in the system. And to source through the veteran database to be able to find, you know, by keyword searches and things of that nature, to be able to find veterans that they may want to interview.
I didn't have that in my list of questions. That was more of my entrepreneur mind going in the background. I'm like, oh, that would be a really nice thing. So that's awesome that you've exploited that opportunity, because that's in my view, that's equally compelling on both sides, both the veteran and the employer. It's equally compelling, that network, you know, compared to the tax credit. Both are very, very beneficial. You also mentioned at the start, you talked about how you're a big fan of partnering. And I think that's great that you're teaming up with different people and in your various entrepreneur ventures. Could you share a little bit more about the different organizations that you form partnerships with at the VTC?
Sure. So, you know, I learned early in life, in my corporate life and military too, that it's a whole lot easier to accomplish objectives if you go in it as a team. And so, you know, my objective with the partnerships that I form at VTC is to work with organizations both on the nonprofit side and veteran-focused for-profits that are in the community helping veterans and helping veterans with opportunities with employers. So, you know, I look for organizations that their primary objective is the veteran, right? Now, unfortunately, you know, within any industry and in the military community or the veteran community, you know, there are companies, unfortunately, that are thinking more about the money than they are the veteran. I call those the sharks. But you know, they're there, but they don't last long. So, you know, I'm really focused on making sure that we get the right organizations that have the veteran and the military family as their primary goal, right? And if they can make a little bit of money or, you know, get funding along the way to keep them afloat to continue to accomplish their mission, then that's great, as long as it's the money isn't the primary motivator. So, you know, nonprofits are great for that, because, you know, their mission is usually heart-led, right? And so if they're helping veterans with any type of career preparation or transition assistance things, then they're a great conduit for training the veteran about this program and helping them learn, you know, hey, if you'll do this, this is how you leverage it, right? And then on the employer side, it's also, you know, a great opportunity for any of their employer channel partners to bring a good news message to them. Hey, we've been sending you veterans for the past, you know, 10 years. We just found out about this program where you can actually get money back in your budget every time you, or most times when you hire our veterans. Learn more about it here. And so it's a great way to connect employers to the program too. And then on the for-profit side, you know, there are some for-profits that are veteran-focused that make really good partners too.
I also wanted to ask on the entrepreneur side, you know, having started two companies now, what advice do you have for listeners who aspire to one day start their own company?
Advice. Wow. You know, this is probably the best advice I can give is to, number one, be prepared mentally, be prepared financially. And then one more time, I'm going to reiterate something I said before, put your ego in the drawer and ask for help. And it's best to do it before you start. So when you have an idea of a product or service that you want to bring to market, find somebody that you know and trust that is either an entrepreneur or somebody who is, you know, in an executive level position for a company that is in charge of making big decisions around a company, and ask for some mentorship. It will help you in numerous ways. Mentors are so valuable in helping you avoid potential challenges and mistakes that they've made. Right. There are also really good organizations and nonprofits out there that are designed to help you with that too. So, you know, obviously you've got the Small Business Administration. They have a veteran division called VBOC that's specifically designed for veterans. And they get some additional resources that the rest of the business community, Small Business Administration community doesn't have access to just because of your veteran status. Company or nonprofits like Bunker Labs is a great one. They're an incubator. They will, if you apply to get into their program, and it is a, you know, multi-month program where they will instruct you from, you know, kind of A to Z on getting prepped to go to market. They'll help you build business plans. They'll talk to you about how to best market your program. They'll bring in resources that'll talk about legal structure. They'll bring in resources that will talk to you about accounting, and just an amazing organization that will be a great, great resource for you.
And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org, I'll have links to all of this, both to veterantaxcredits.com as well as the SBA Veterans Division, Bunker Labs. But those are all exceptional resources. Not to put you on the spot, but do any success stories stand out from your work at VTC, either on the employer side or on the veteran side of something just working out well for someone?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the problem is just picking the right ones. You know, I had a conversation with a gentleman just last week, and he was one of the vets that came into the system. And he came in through, believe it or not, through one of our partnerships. And he got his letter and actually used the letter and his tax credit to negotiate additional salary. Right. So they had made the decision that they wanted to hire him, and he knew he came with $12,000 in tax credits because he had a couple of the credits stack, and was able to negotiate. I think they ended up split in the middle. So he got, you know, an extra $6,000 a year in salary just because he came with a tax credit. And so he was, you know, obviously super excited about that. It worked to his advantage. It worked the way that it was intended to work. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, a couple of weeks after he was hired, he was calling me up and saying, okay, my CFO is pulling his hair out trying to figure out how to get this tax credit. Can you help him? I'm like, absolutely. Well, happy to do it for him so that he doesn't have to figure it all out on his own, because that's what we do. So that was a great story to hear from him, that he used it, and now we're able to help his company. Another story, just for the employers that may be listening, and really the, I think this brings us home how frustrating it can be to not know about this program. So I met a gentleman on the archery range of all places. So we're out shooting our bows, and we were the only two out there, and started chatting a little bit and did the obligatory, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" kind of thing, right? And I found out that he had just sold his businesses about 3 months prior. He'd owned a chain of over 100 different auto mechanic shops in Colorado and surrounding areas, a couple other states. And he was kind of excited about it. He's like, "I finally get to retire and just play a little bit." And then when he asked me what I did, I watched his smile turn to grimace. And I'm like, what's he upset over? And he looks at me and he goes, "You get tax credits for hiring veterans?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, if you knew how many veterans I hired in the 27 years that I owned those businesses, because I used to go to the bases and hire them directly off the bases when they transitioned, because they were some of my best employees, right? Diesel mechanics and Fort Carson, just trove of folks that he could hire." And I said, "Well, how many do you think that you hired?" And he goes, "Well over 1,000. And I said, "Well, okay, let's do the math." I said, let's just say it's 1,000. And none of them were service connected disabled, and they were just regular veterans. That's $5,600 times 1,000. That's $5.6 million that you paid the IRS over 27 years that you didn't need to." I thought he was going to hit me. He was so upset. I'm like, "Could that have helped you grow faster?" He goes, "I'd easily have more money in my kitty right now to play with in my retirement." So, I mean, that's the unfortunate side of this, is that if we don't take ownership of this, and this is what I tell all my vet friends and vets that are in this program, the DOL has a great program. They're just not a great marketing organization, right? So we just don't, there's not enough people that know about this program. So as a military community, I want all of us to take ownership of this program, and I want us to bring it to the business community. So, when you are asked as a veteran, "Hey, what benefits do you get?" 99% of the time we can go, "I get the GI Bill, I get VA home loan, I can go to the VA hospital or TRICARE if I qualify for that," right? Those are the ones we can rattle off. How many times have you ever heard a veteran go, "Oh, and I come with a tax credit if you hire me," right? That should all come out of our mouths. We need to know that, and we need to use it and leverage it. And then if we bring this to the business community and they connect the dots, "Hey, we're getting great veteran talent that's helping our organization grow, and it's putting money back into our budget that we can use for other things," then they're going to fight over us. And that's what I want to have happen. So that's my mission for the vets out there, is to take ownership of this program, use it. And I don't care if they use the business that you go to work for, it uses my service, or they do it another way. But if you get hired, make sure that the business that hires you gets the credit. Follow up with them. Bring them the paperwork and say, "Get this credit," because that's when we want them to connect the dots.
I love in that first story, I love the image of this person advocating for themselves and not just saying, "Hey, this is a gift to the company," but like, "Hey, let's split this." I think that's beautiful to see them benefiting from the value they're bringing to the company. And that's a sizable increase in their annual salary. So that was an awesome story. And I definitely feel for the man who realized leaving $5 million on the table is pretty wild. But I also want to point out what you said of this thought that for listeners who bring this to an employer, they're helping out the broader military ecosystem. I hadn't put that together until you said it, but it's like by letting them realize the added benefit to hiring a military veteran, they're going to be slightly more likely to do so. And that benefits our community. So I love that sense of paying it forward to others. I know we're towards the end here, but I just wanted to make space to see if there's anything else about either the VTC or your career that you wanted to share with listeners before we wrap up.
The final points are whether you're an employer or you're a veteran, use the program. It is so advantageous to both sides of the equation that it's silly for us not to, right? Tax day is a day that none of us like, whether we're an employer or an employer, right? So if there's money out there that can help us trim back our tax burden and benefit us and the employers that we work for, why not take advantage of it? We've made this program so easy for both sides through the VTC platform. Everything I do for my brothers and sisters out there is free. We do not charge veterans one single dime for our services to help you leverage this program to your advantage. And on the employer side, I've made it so inexpensive that there's no reason that you shouldn't do it. I built it with the small business in mind. You know, an annual subscription to our service is $300. I mean, even if you get the low credit for hiring your first veteran at $2,400 after my fees, it's going to pay for 7 years of my service. So there's no reason for you not to have a tax credit solution in place. And that's just on the veteran side. If you're in industries that hire for lower income positions, the service industries, for example, are hiring construction workers and housekeepers, and I mean even waitresses and waiters that could be single parents in one of those other disadvantaged target groups, they come with tax credits, and you'd never know it, and you. By not having a solution in place that you use every time you're hiring, you walk away for more and more money. And that's how $63 billion sits back in the government coffers every year instead of going back into your budgets because you're not using it. So I would just encourage you to take advantage of the program. Let's get the program the recognition that it deserves and help more of our veterans find work.
Awesome. Well, Craig, thank you for joining me today. Thank you for sharing your story. And for listeners on either the veteran or the employer side, you can find out more information at veterantaxcredits.com or in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org. We'll have lots of different links to the things we discussed. Thanks so much, Craig.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.